Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mike, Joe, and Evan, how are you?
Mike, how
are
you?
I'm doing good, guys. I'm good, guys. How are we doing, huh? We holding up?
We're holding up.
Holding up.
We're doing our part. Good. We're staying in. We're trying to distract ourselves, trying to distract people listening. So we're doing everything we can. We're excited for the NFL draft. I mean, I'm glad it's still happening. What is the biggest adjustment that GMs are going to have to make, that scouts are going to have to make? What's the biggest adjustment from kind of the different world we're living in right now?
Well, I actually think it's going to prove to be a great test study and a case study, because I think it's going to remove bias from decision making. You know, what happens at these pro days is you get a bunch of scouts together, executives. Everybody comes together. They go to Alabama and they talk about Ruddy, or they talk about Judy, or they talk about Lewis and all the players. And you compare notes and you end up having this confirmation bias. You know, I really like that guy. Yeah, I like him too. That makes you feel good about the player. And I think that bias tends to make the mistakes in drafts. Without that, you're just going to go back and watch the tape. The only downfall that I see the way it's set up right now is we're going to have a lot of missing information. A lot of guys didn't work out the combine. A lot of guys didn't run their 40 short shuttles. That thing's going to be missing. And then the medical. And then the medical is going to be really the issue, because you're going to take guys that you haven't really put your hands on and you feel comfortable with the medical, and you could literally say, uh-oh, that could be a mistake.
Mm. Mike, how is it going to – we all know the TV extravaganza that the draft has become. We all know it was going to be in Vegas. They were going to, I don't know where it was going to be, what hotel, but they're going to have people coming down on a boat or whatever they were going to do. So they're still going to have it, obviously, on TV. How is it going to be? How's that going to work? Just Goodell by himself announcing who the picks are? Is that really what it's going to be? And everybody, you know, all the analysts in different places, is that what it's going to be?
I guess so. I mean, when I was a kid, when I was in college, I went to Hofstra. I used to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, 1978, 79. I'd take the train in, and I'd get me early in the morning. I'd have to wait to get one of those 300 seats at the Sheraton to watch
right,
the draft.
Right.
You know,
right.
I think it's going to be like that. I think it's going to be like they're going to read the name, and they're going to go on to the next pick. And, you know,
it's old school.
Old school. Why
yeah,
not? You know?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be something like that, because, you know, I'm sure they're still going to roll tape of the player, and I'm sure we're going to get the analysis of where the guy should have been picked, not how the guy's going to play, right? That drives me crazy, right? Like, does it really matter if you pick him at 7 or 12 as he goes to the Pro Bowl?
Right.
No.
Seriously.
Yeah,
becomes a Hall of Famer. No.
Yeah. Right.
Totally agree. You know, we were saying this earlier, and, you know, over the last few years, we've seen a lot of bad drafts, okay? We happen to root for the Jets. There's a lot of Giant fans out there. They've seen some bad drafts. There's a part of me that likes this because – kind of what you were alluding to earlier, there's less information and maybe less to think about here. Maybe it just becomes more simpler in, I watched him play, I like him,
right,
I think
right,
he's
right, going to
be a
right.
good football player, I'm going to take him, instead of, you know, splitting the atom 57 different times.
Exactly. Or we got to get the guy because he ran 4.43.
Oh,
but he doesn't
geez.
Play like he runs 4.43, right? You know, we got to get this guy because he's got a great short shuttle, but you can't find it on the tape, right? Or no, you know, Mel's got this guy graded. He should go at the bottom of the first, and here we are sitting in the second. You know, that should be really good value. You know, Mel's value board. I mean, all that stuff is just bias towards getting away from the tape. How does the player help your football team win today? How does the player affect your team? Where does he fit? It's always about fit. It's about how the player fits for what you want to do. What do we want to be? How do we want this player to fit in the scheme? And if you can get that figured out, scout inside out, you're going to have a good draft.
How do you see, again, we're talking to Michael Lombardi, how do you see the draft playing out? I mean, you got to figure Burrow's going one to the Bengals. I guess Young is going to go two to the Redskins. I guess it starts to get a little interesting at three. Is that, you see it that way, Mike?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, I think when push comes to shove, the Lions will probably take the corner from Ohio State.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Look, the Lions are probably scared. Here's the issue, though. What we're dealing with is there's the teams that are picking four or five, the Chargers and the Dolphins, you know, they want to come up. And the teams like the Giants and the Lions, they don't want to go back into the 20s. They don't want to go back into the teens. They want to stay where they are and get a good player. They don't mind moving a little bit to get the same guy. So I think there's going to be a little bit of showmanship here. Who's going to bluff, right? If you're the Chargers, you say, hey, look, I'll take whatever quarterback comes to me. They both have question marks. I'm going to take one. I'm not in love with anybody. I'm going to take one of those. I'm not giving you any assets. Call the bluff on Detroit. The Tua medical is going to scare a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It's going to scare a lot of people, not because you can't pass them on the physical, just in your mind, how long is this durability going to last? Phil Simms said this the other day to me on my show. He said, you know, every time I watch him get tackled, I wonder whether he's going to get up. And that's so true, and it's so revealing because you worry about that. So I think there's going to be some of that. I think the quarterbacks will start to go in that range. And I think Herbert's a hot commodity.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think because of that, Herbert actually goes ahead of Tua?
I would not shock me. It would not shock me at all. It wouldn't shock me if Love went ahead of him.
Wow.
I mean,
really?
I know. Well, see, it's part of the bias that's going on, right? Tua's great. Tua's great. Tua's
sure.
great. Tank for Tua, right?
Right.
He's throwing to wide open receivers. He's got, you know, the defensive line counts to eight Mississippi before they rush him, right? He's got all time in the pocket. You know,
right,
even
right,
the kid,
right.
the freshman kid that they picked up, he came in and played well, put 45 on Auburn. The reality of it is you got to be worried about Tua's durability. Durability, availability is as important as ability.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. I think to a lot of Giant fans, they look at this draft where they're sitting and say, get me the best offensive lineman. So my question to you is, you've got Andrew Thomas, you've got Jedrick Willis, the offensive tackle at Alabama, you've got Tristan Wirfs, you've got Mekhi Becton, got a lot of pretty good beef up there. Who is, in your mind, the best offensive lineman available that the Giants should take?
Well, I think knowing the Giants, it's always going to be a big school guy. And Louisville, to me, is not a big school guy. Big Ten, big school. That's part of the Giants' tradition. Size, speed, big school. That's what they believe. I think Wilf will be the pick. I think the Iowa kid could be the pick. You know, I think that'll ultimately, or could they take Isaiah Simmons, the linebacker from Clemson, who plays like a safety, who could play some linebacker. I think they've got a lot of interesting decisions, but if they don't fix that offensive line, with that quarterback back there, he's not going to be able to make it through the season where they are right now.
Who? How about the Jets at 11? Because to me, they got to take an offensive lineman. That's me. I know the wide receiver situation. I get it. But what do you think about that with the Jets at 11, Mike?
I think they take whichever the best offensive lineman or defensive lineman they think can get to them. I think, look, there's enough receivers in this draft that you're going to get a receiver at some point. And maybe if you take somebody early and the guy you get in the second might end up being better. You know, you got to let this thing play out. You're not going to get tackles. I mean, this neglect that's going on with the Jets in terms of not drafting offensive linemen has been a problem. And because of that, they got to get one badly.
Yep.
You know, they're not going to go into the season. They got to protect Sam Darnold. They got to protect their team. They got to be able to run the football. They need one of those guys. They got to hope one will get to them, and I think one will.
Well, they signed four offensive linemen. Now, a few of those guys are depth guys, like a Josh Andrews, but they signed Van Roten, they signed Fant, they signed McGovern. Looking at what they've
Alex
done.
Alex Lewis, they re-signed him,
they
too.
Brought him back. Yeah,
that, right.
Yeah, they brought
and paid
him back.
Him. And they paid him sure. big money, too. I mean, they paid Lewis now. You know, I mean, the Fant signing, to me, is going to be interesting. Can he hold up out there for 16 games, 60 minutes? That, to me, is the interesting thing. Connor McGovern. I mean, they've been trying to fix this center position for a while now, whether it's been Spencer Long,
right.
Jonathan Harrison.
Right.
I mean, they've been trying to fix it.
Since Mangold.
You know, look, everybody thinks the right guard, Winters, is, you know, they're paying him a lot of money. He's got to play much better than what he's played before. So, to me, any lineman that they get, whether it's Van Roten, Andrew, they got to upgrade that. And I think the best way to do it is what they're doing is get depth and let guys compete for jobs.
What did you think of the Robbie Anderson contract? Obviously, the receiver market was cooled off. I think a lot of teams look at the draft, see the talent that's out there. The Jets lose Robbie Anderson to Carolina. What did you think of the contract he got?
You know, $10 million a year for a guy can make get the ball in the end zone. I mean, I think with Robbie, it's more about can he do it for 16 games, 60 minutes, and not have those lapses of times where you wonder where he is and what he's doing. I think it's more about consistency. I mean, he is a true playmaker, and I think he did a short-term deal. Thinks he thought his market was going to be much greater than it ended up being. I think it was a really good deal for him to get. Now, they got to hope Perryman comes in and does kind of what Perryman did last year. Before this, Perryman was a first-round bust.
Right, yeah.
But last year, he played really well for the Bucs. They got the ball down the field to him, and we'll see if he can hold up and do the same thing. And I think if he can do that, you know, he can offset losing a guy like Anderson.
Talking to Mike Lombardi, talking football with him. Mike, as a Jet fan, for the first time in 20 years, it doesn't look like the division is an absolute lock for the Patriots. Now, I say that with very, very, you know, nervously, because Belichick is still there, and it's Bill, and anything's possible with Bill. But how about that when you look at it? Because it's going to be fascinating watching the Patriots this year. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the Jets have as good a chance as anybody. They have a really solid draft. I mean, look, let's face it. I mean, the Luke Falk disaster was a disaster, right? I mean, no one's signing Luke Falk today. And they had to play how many games with Luke Falk at quarterback?
Right, right.
Couple. I mean, they would have been better off running the single wing. And, you know, they had some really heartbreaking losses at the end of the year. The opening game against Buffalo, they're up 16-0.
Yes,
you know,
I
they
know
got
well.
A chance to win that game. If they come back and play the level of defense that they did last year, and they get any kind of production out of their offensive line, and Le'Veon Bell can play better, and Darnold doesn't get mono, I think things can start to fall into place for him. Look, he's got as good a chance as anybody, including Buffalo, to win the division. I mean, it wouldn't shock me. There's always a team that has a really easier schedule that can come in there and make the rise, and I think the Jets are candidates for that because when you watch them play last year defensively, they were no easy out. I mean, they played hard. Now, they weren't dominating everybody, but you had to beat them. They weren't going to give you the game.
You know, we're talking to Mike Lombardi. We were saying this earlier. This is the first time where, not that I think the Jets are winning the AFC East or Dolphins fans think they're winning the AFC East, but it's the first time where you're not going into a season just assuming the inevitable, which is that New England's going to win this division.
Right.
What's your sense for what they're going to look like? We all have great respect for Bill Belichick. He'll get the most out of this team, but there's a major question at quarterback right now. We'll see if Stidham's the guy. Is it Brian Hoyer? Is it one of the veteran free agents? But they've lost other free agents so far this year, other key guys on defense. What's your feel for what you think the Patriots are in 2020?
Well, I mean, look, I think, you know, they lost guys on defense. They'll replace them. Van Noy was a good player. I think they feel like they can replace him. They got to get some of the younger guys in there. You look at that defense at the last half of the second of the season, even though they only gave up 14 points before the interception that Brady threw at the end of the game against Tennessee, they weren't quite the same defense they were earlier in the season. They kind of got a little leg tired. I thought Jamie Collins wasn't as good. Offensively, they're going to be much different, but they bring back their offensive line. They need Isaiah Wynn to stay healthy, right? They need David Andrews desperately. He's the glue that holds them together. I think you'll see them become more of a two-back team. I think they'll be able to run the football. Jared Stidham, if you have studied him coming out, highly recruited kid out of Waco, Texas. You know, Art Briles recruited him. He went to Waco, went to Baylor there. Then they had the disaster at Baylor, and he transferred to Auburn. Why, I don't know, because somebody thinks Auburn has a passing game, which they don't. And I think it hurt his draft stock. If he would have stayed with Matt Rhule at Baylor, he probably would have been a top 20 pick last year in the draft. So they've got a talented young player, a quarterback. Now, how he develops, how does he earn the job, all those are question marks. But I think you'll see a different style of offense. I think you'll see them be a little bit more two-back oriented, more play-action pass oriented to help Stidham.
What does Brady do in Tampa? How do you see that?
That's an interesting question because, you know, I know Bruce Arians said he still throws the deep ball well. And look, I think arm strength is not the issue with Tom. I think Tom likes to control the middle of the field. I think when you see Tom and when he's been his most successful, whether it's been Hernandez and Gronkowski with James White in the backfield or whether it's been James White with Edelman and Gronkowski, he always has a combination of three players that controls the inside part of the field. That's critical. That is really critical for him. And I think if he gets that, he's got O.J. Howard, he's got Cameron Brate, so he's got a tight end. They can get Evans to come in and play some inside stuff, which he'll be dynamic at. They just need a nickel back that can come out and really, really challenge the defense. And I think Bruce is going to have to adjust his team. Remember, if you go back and look, Bruce Arians' offense, it's really trying to be – I bring this up. People don't remember Earl Weaver. Earl Weaver, the former manager of the Baltimore Orioles, hated the sacrifice bunt. He wanted three-run homers all the time.
Yep, yep.
Well, that's Bruce Arians. He don't want to bunt anybody over to second base. He wants three-run homers. But that also means – look at Manning's interceptions when he played for Bruce. Look at Ben Roethlisberger's interceptions when he played for Bruce. Look at Carson Palmer's interceptions when he played for Bruce. They're going to throw it down the field. And when you do that, you're going to make some mistakes.
Is it a bad sign for Cam Newton that his former coach didn't have a lot of interest in bringing him in and instead goes out and trades for his other former quarterback in Kyle Allen?
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine if Bill O'Brien would have done that? They would have killed him down in Houston. Can you imagine that he wouldn't get anything for Cam Newton? I mean, seriously. I mean, I think it is. I think here's the problem. We don't know medically. Right, we don't know medically. I think Cam Newton would be on an NFL team today if people could really get him into their facility, spend time talking to him, and give him a really good physical. I think this is what's delaying free agency. There's a lot of good players on the street right now, but because of the virus, because of the travel restrictions, because of all the things that are going on, you can't that second wave of free agency where you really make your team better. You can't get involved as much because most of the guys that haven't been signed, they've got some kind of injury. I mean, the Ravens signed Derek Wolfe the other day. He's got an injury. They're taking a chance whether he's healthy or not. But they felt they needed to do it when they lost Brockers. I think it's a little challenging this time of the year. And I think that ultimately that's what's happening to Cam. Jameis Winston, it's not about money with Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston wants to go to a team that he can revitalize his career. I think he would like to go to New England. I'm not sure he can, but I think that's ultimately what he wants to do.
Interesting. How about the DeAndre Hopkins trade? What did you think of that with O'Brien?
Well, I mean, I report, you know, on GM Shuffle last, I think it was last August, I said he was available. I mean, they've been trying to trade him now for a while, and here's why. He's a really good player. He's a dynamic player. He's got incredible eye-hand coordination, right? And he can catch any pass. He's usually always covered. He wants to make somewhere between 20 and 22 million. If you want to play that to a, if you want to pay that to a receiver that doesn't take the top off the defense, God bless. Everybody always, when you watch the Texans play, you always have a graphic up there: the Texans with Will Fuller, the Texans without Will Fuller,
right,
and how Will Fuller impacts their offense. Right.
Yeah.
Well, with the consistent is always Hopkins is in that. Right. He's always there. Will Fuller makes Hopkins better because he takes the top off. And I think what they decided to do was they knew they weren't going to pay it, and they were going to cut their losses. Should they have gotten more? I think anybody could criticize them for that. That's the easy part. I think we don't know what was going on in that locker room, and I think if you don't know, I think it's hard for you to judge.
What do you think the Texans do this year? I mean, they're coming off a brutal playoff disappointment. There's obviously a lot of pressure on Bill O'Brien, not just from being criticized nationally, but certainly locally. He has all the power there. What are your expectations for the Texans this year?
You know, I think they got to fix their defense. Look, I think they got some really good players on defense that the fans know about. But I think if J.J. Watt played less plays, he'd play better. I think they've got to fix their defense. They've got to be able to get control. Look, let me tell you, that the Kansas City game, that was the perfect example of a team that wasn't in the lead but wasn't also in control, right? So the Texans had the lead, but they were never in control of that game. They were never in control of that game. It was kind of fortunate how they got in the lead, and then they gave up 50 points. I think their issues are on defense, and they got to fix them. They got to sign Hopkins, and they got to sign Tunnel to an extension.
How about the and again, of course, we're talking to Mike Lombardi. What did you think of the Stephon Diggs trade with Buffalo?
Well, look, I think that's they gave up a lot, right? Here's my concern. You're a Jet fan. You probably can appreciate this. It works under one condition, under one real condition. Josh Allen, the quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, has attempted 50 passes over 30 yards in his NFL career. He's only completed 7 of them. Three went for a touchdown, 3 are picks. Then between the 20 and the 30, he's attempted 76 passes. He's only completed 21 of those. So his accuracy on the long ball, to be polite, is bad. And that's how I'm being polite here. And if that doesn't correct itself, I don't know how much Diggs is going to really be able to add to the offense if they have too many long foul balls, which is always the case with Josh Allen. His accuracy at Wyoming was a concern. His accuracy at Buffalo is a concern.
Mm. We're talking to Mike Lombardi. Do you think Marcus Mariota ends up becoming the starting quarterback in Vegas?
No, I don't. I mean, look, I think Marcus is a wonderful kid. I just think he's got, you know, he's not a true leader. I think he's going to have a hard time. I think John Gruden's got a room of quarterbacks. He's got two really nice kids, and he wants a dog in there. He wants somebody like Rich Gannon who's tough. And I don't think he has that. I think it's going to be hard. I think Mariota is just going to go in there and try to do what they ask him to do, and he's a pleaser. Sometimes when you're a pleaser as a player, you don't please anybody. You got to be a little bit of an angry player. You got to go in there and take it. I don't see that with Mariota. His arm is limited. There's no doubt about that. His arm strength is limited, and his leadership doesn't offset any of those qualities. Last summer, it was reliably reported to me that it wasn't even close between him and Tannehill. That it wasn't close, that the front office basically just said, hey, let's play Mariota to see where we are.
Wow.
And we saw where they were.
Right, right, clearly. Right.
They almost lost their season.
Yeah. Almost. Phillip Rivers in Indianapolis. How about that?
That's going to be interesting. You know, I mean, I think Phillip's got certainly a better offensive line than he's ever had. And he's going to have a running game. I mean, one thing about Frank Wright, Frank Wright's going to control the pace of the game with his running game, whether it's Hines or whether it's Mack running the football. And he's going to take some of the pressure off of Rivers. The thing about Rivers is you know he's not going to move, so everything's got to be precise. The second play never exists. That's the thing that Gruden has a real trouble with Derek Carr. Every time the play breaks down, the play breaks down. Meanwhile, in Kansas City, when the play breaks down, you get a new play. Right? All of a sudden, Mahomes makes a play that you can't believe. Well, the little bit of a problem in Indianapolis is going to be when the play breaks down, you've got a bad play. And I think they got to work around that. But they'll run the ball. I think Rivers' arm is on a decline, but playing in the dome, playing in against some of the teams he'll play against, I would be surprised if he didn't have his typical Phillip Rivers season.
For the teams that have new coaching staffs, and obviously we're experiencing that in New York with the Giants, with Joe Judge taking over, what is the biggest challenge with the fact that there's probably not going to be much of an off-season program? I mean, hopefully we have training camp on time, but there probably isn't going to be much else. What's the biggest challenge facing Joe Judge's staff because of that?
I think it's communication, teaching, you know, getting the players on the same page, getting your culture intact. I mean, understanding what the work ethic is. I mean, poor Joe doesn't have an opportunity to lay that foundation. What is it going to take to be a Giant? How's he going to lay this foundation down? What's he going to do? How's he going to teach the schemes? And how's he going to run everything he wants to run? I think it's a real challenge. And then I think in this era, if you don't have your offensive line intact and you're trying to put together an offensive line without camps, without OTA days, it's your month of September is going to be a challenge.
Mike, great talking to you. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Evan. Thanks, John. Thanks,
thank
guys.
You, Mike.
Appreciate you.
You be well.
Thank you, man. Mike Lombardi does a great job. He's a radio.com insider.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.